Thanks so much, Fusion Festival, for having me here. It's been quite a long path. As much as I'm here talking, this presentation goes, the design of this presentation goes back in the last year when I had this, how can I say, understanding of the merging between cyberpunk, radio protocols, and festival communication. Cyberpunk as in cyberpunk, like we all know most of these novels, movies. Sorry? It's okay? Okay. It's okay? Okay. Cyberpunk as the cyberpunk genre in which I see a lot of reminiscences here at Fusion. Radio as in radio, like walkie-talkie radio frequencies, hertz, the spectrum, the beat. One of the once I was in Rio de Janeiro and I went to the Cristo Redentor and I've seen this statue of Marconi, no? Alessandro Marconi. And why there is this statue of Alessandro Marconi behind the Cristo Redentor in Rio de Janeiro? Because actually this was lit by the radio. I mean, there was like the Pope of the time. It's, yeah, Pio Undicesimo, 11th, press a button, and that with Alessandro Marconi, and press the button, and it was sent all over the ocean, that signal, and the signal triggered the Cristo Redentor of Rio de Janeiro. I mean, this happened. I mean, imagine being there and being told, wow, they lit the light from Rome. Meu Deus do céu. Wow, incredible. So this makes us, in a way, accept the fact that we indeed live and experience a magic world. And most of us, we don't know how things really work. There is a level of understanding of things and how things work, but as Arthur Clarke says, any sufficiently advanced technology is indistinguishable from magic. And that's what happened there in Rio de Janeiro back then. So this is the two big topics, cyberpunk and radios, technology, and festival communications. So I am still hosting a workshop in Osora Festival, a wearable workshop. And last year, I had the chance I made a video on YouTube. I made the chance to put an antenna on the highest place of the venue of Osora, not of Fusion. And we were able to connect using these tools that I'm about to introduce you, all the people of the festival. And that's what also what happened in some months after in Burning Man. Okay, we can start now. So where are we? As you can imagine, the assumption of this presentation is that we are living in a society that has several aspects of this cyberpunk genre, and we have many different layers of relationship with technology. For example, I often go to China. The first time I was coming to China 10 years ago in Shenzhen. When I was going to Shenzhen, it was like super, like cyberpunk, dark. And now, China has become, when you go and you land and you go to Shenzhen, is like a solar punk experience. It's like there are different levels of technology and the technology that enters in our life. But if we have to be super straightforward, what does cyberpunk mean? Cyberpunk is living in a cyberpunk way of life, or the cyberpunk way of analyzing and witnessing the world, is based on the dichotomy of high tech and low life. So, by high tech, I'm bringing you many examples. Like, we are living on the edge. We are witnessing literally every day the expression of this homegrown or cloud-grown artificial intelligence, cybernetic enhancements. We are experiencing mega corporation, big companies that are far more powerful than states. And even if we have such a good and cool and powerful thing, we are, as individuals, we have a low level of life. So this is the concept of cyberpunk, and all the protagonists of all those movies and novels that I was referring before, they are always portrayed in this way. And I think we are here right now. I mean, we are on the edge, we are entering, we already entered in such a place. What is not so we have wealth inequality. We are not able to okay, so I just made a mistake here, and I'm just... So this was a very interesting conversation, and we had on Reddit a few days ago, and the topic was, among all these relationship with technologies, all these characters in these cyberpunk novels, they always know how to hack things, but indeed, in our everyday, in our society, we don't usually want to learn, want to hack stuff and open stuff. And this is kind of an interesting aspect, because we are using technology in a passive way. So this is the cover of Mondo magazine from 1993, and this is how the cyberpunk person was imagined. Most of the things, the gadgets he owns, he has all around, are represented today by a smartphone. So with a smartphone you can record, take the map. The smartphone is actually acquiring a lot of our needs, a lot of our represents a lot of our expression towards society. So in other words, I don't know if you in Germany or in other states, but in Italy nowadays, with the smartphone you can host your public records, you can acquire and you can, in a way, represent your identity. And the path of the law, and I'm sure this is going to happen, is that you will be more and more entitled to use your smartphone as your identity card, as your passport, as your, maybe even you could vote with your smartphone, as much as for private stuff. So I don't know if any of you have ever checked their bank account without a smartphone. So this device is like the plugin of our brain. We constantly focus on it. We constantly check it. Information use, messaging system, and whatnot. Some people define this somehow a way to walk around the internet. So we walk through the internet throughout this smartphone in somehow a garden, but it's a walled garden. The term walled garden was defined some years ago, and it depicts the fact that you have several big, very big places, so to say, Facebook or Google or Twitter sphere, and you take informations from these places. In versus or in contraposition with the internet of some years ago, where it was more of a widespread and represented, how can I say, information, so to say. So some people may want to chat with somebody using Facebook Messenger, learn how to learn what happened today in their city throughout Facebook News, chat with somebody using WhatsApp. So they are not aware, or they are unaware of the fact that they are in a way belonging to that specific garden. In this case, it was the Meta garden, and it's odd that as we speak, this news is like from 5 days ago. The staffers from White House were banned from using WhatsApp from official records. So there is this ongoing storytelling of uncertainty, fear, uncertainty, and doubt around the privacy and the secrecy of the messaging system we are adopting. Indeed, I'm Italian, so I brought, I looked for the specific chapter of the Italian Constitution, but there is also the Italian Constitution is 15, on the German one is 10, is the right of secrecy of the letters is inside of the constitutions, but this is becoming more and more of a luxury. So we are entering in a war where we won't be able anymore to communicate secretly with somebody. Above that, maybe you have heard that European Parliament is pushing this chat control law that does exactly that, analyzing and reviewing your messages in order to check for bad people, looking for bad people. And here comes a very interesting point of view from a Greek economist, Yanis Varoufakis. In his book Techno-Feudalism, he represents us as serfs. Serfs were the people, the peasants, during the Middle Age, the peasants that were working the land in order to live. They needed to work the land and eat from the land of the master. So they were working the land, the potatoes, so to say. I mean, the Middle Age potato, no potato in the Middle Ages, so maybe we should use another metaphor, but whatever. You work the land and you give it what's grown of the land to the master, and you eat some of it, okay? This was feudalism. Yanis Varoufakis, in Techno-Feudalism, it says that we are in a digital medieval time, so to say. So he says that the capitalism is over, and we are now in this post-capitalist techno-feudal war. And some people online, they even made this analysis, and they compared how these hierarchies match, no? But I have to say, we should work on a little techno-feudal exercise, all of us. So think of your favorite YouTuber or you yourself making a story on Instagram or making a live stream on Twitch. Actually, it's like you are taking the land of the master and you are working it, because the land of the master is an hard disk online, and it's full of zero and ones, but mostly zeros because it's empty. And the moment you record something and you share it online, this creates money, this creates allows you as a creator, as a YouTuber, as a TikToker, Twitcher, whichever name you want to identify yourself. The point is, you as a person, you are living out of it as much as the serf in the medieval time, because maybe you are making money as a creator. But in the end, the person that owns the land is the master. So I try to make this picture starting from a painting, and I think I am deeply convinced of this analysis from Varoufakis. Also, we are. As for now, I mean, these are news from a few days ago. Whichever we do with these zeros and ones, it's used also to train AIs and to, like, create something better from us. So let's freeze this very bad dystopian things that I told you up to now, and let's focus on networks. So on the left you see this centralized network. This is like WhatsApp or Telegram, or even when we send an SMS. In the middle there is the blockchain, is a decentralized network, and then there is distributed network, is a mesh network. So in the mesh network everybody has his own node, so to say. This is important, and this brings us to the place we are today, because we are today at Fusion Festival, of course. Fusion Festival is a TAZ. TAZ as in Temporary Autonomous Zone. It's a book from Hacking Bay from 1991. And it's a very interesting book that depicts the fact that these spaces, temporary spaces, not necessarily physical one. To me, a TAZ could be also online, could be also a Discord server, possibly, where people meet and self empower themselves using their own tools. So the interesting thing is that these TAZ have evolved. This is a friend of mine, Manny Wang. 10 years ago, he was at Burning Man, and he was envisioning, based on what's happening now, it was like ahead of his time. He created a little device that he gave it to all his friends, all of his friends, from the Phage, which is a camp of the Burning Man. And if you press that button, all those colors, all those jewels were blinking at once. They were all linked using a radio. In order, all this was used in order to meet each other in the dance floor, which is something useful, especially here in Fusion. It's very difficult to meet somebody in the dance floor. So Bunny Wang was, Bunny Wang is a very important and cool hacker, very, very interesting person. He made this as a joke, as a game 10 years ago. But the interesting thing is that nowadays, we don't need to be an MIT genius, an electronic engineer to toy around this stuff. We can build ourselves. So this YouTuber made made the same last year. And this was, to me, somehow a sign that people was looking for this, something open and easy to use to meet friends in festivals. There were also commercial solutions. I don't know if you have heard of this, but this is a product that was launched lately and offered this kind of tools. But the point is that what happened in the last 2 or 3 years is that a lot of these, there are at least three. One is like the main one, I have to say, Meshtastic, but there is also Reticulum and Meshcore. These are firmwares that you flash on little devices, on little radios, one of which is here. But they have different shapes, and you can communicate using the 868 megahertz. So it's really lower than cellular data, far lower, which is 2.4 gigahertz. And what is this Meshtastic for? Is like for messaging. You can chat with your friends. You can also chat in public. You can broadcast your messages publicly. You can share your location. And of course, you can benefit from the mesh networking. It's meant this solution could be adopted and used in sports like exploration, hiking, emergency, or like even protesting, I would say, and is being used in transformative festival. That's the reason why I'm here talking about this. Actually, after the big blackout in Spain, I had a first recognition of how useful was Meshtastic. The grid went down, and these inexpensive and solar-powered or battery-powered radios were able to allowing people to communicate to each other. But is also a very cool solution to communicate in situation when we want to express our rights in a private way. So the Meshtastic development happened in USA. I'm not sure it's from California, but it's based in USA. Again, Meshtastic is one of these firmware. It's the one that I adopted, but there are others. And I think it's cool and hygienic for such a thing that there are different firmwares so that you can jump one to another. And also the fact that it's open source allows people to proofread it and check if there are some things you don't want inside. And has been developed hardware-wise in China. And this let us enter in a very cool term, Shanzai. Shanzai is in Chinese means the castle on the mountain, but it's a term, if you go to Shenzhen, to define a producer when, you know, when Chinese producers, they try to copy something, they used to try to copy something, but they add something else. So, for example, they take a mobile phone, and they, back in the days, and they add the TV inside of the mobile phone, okay? So the Shanzhaism, to me, is the Chinese creativity and the super quick way they have to listen to an idea, listen to a trend, and express and produce. We are talking about all of this is open source hardware. So it's not, how can I say? It's open source. So you see all of these are different hardware that were exploded after, in the last, 2 years. And you can see there are several solutions that are very tiny. Even you could wear some of them, or your dog could wear them. Some of them you can put them on a drone or on a kite as well. Most of the time you use this protocol to chat using the smartphone. So the smartphone connects via Bluetooth to the radio, and the radio connects you to the other radios listening. Some other time, in other devices, you have devices that have the keyboard, and actually it's self-hosted. You don't even need the smartphone, which is so cool to me, actually. So you basically have a very, very chatty, old-school phone to talk to your friends. But as you can see, there are people that made it also artistic radios and whatnot. So basically, what's the big difference? When I send a message, besides the fact that here, if you send a message, there are too many people, maybe it's not sent. But when you send a message to your girlfriend or your special one, you send something, it goes on a computer and is sent on the computer, on the smartphone of the other person. In this scenario, if I want to send to a person this message, is a message that is sent anonymously throughout all the other nodes. This process is called a hop. And these messages in Meshtastic, they last just 7 hop. So it's a lot, but it's not that much. So I think Meshtastic is a very cool tool to communicate in situation like this, like transformational festivals, when there is no internet or cellular connectivity, and I mean, there is even the people at Burning Man. They even made a site to coordinate all the people using Meshtastic. I mean, they are really into this now. But I think, I mean, I was not. No, it's not working, the internet. I wanted to show you. This was the fusion few minutes ago. There were like 200 nodes, and people, I mean, I was just watching the people that my radio was receiving, and I wasn't invited in any private group. So I was just watching and broadcasting messages. Some of you may be invited by me using this chat protocol, if any of you came here because they read it on the Meshtastic, please say hi. You, the nerd. Okay, good. Good. And yeah, that's it. I mean, that's the whole story. If you have any questions, I invited some of you to like you, if you want to have some questions about how to make this or how to acquire these kind of radios, be free to make some questions.
Please raise your hands if you have any questions.
Hey, thanks for the talk, first of all. Super interesting. I'm kicking myself because it's obviously a pretty good solution for Fusion. I was familiar with mesh testing, but I wasn't really thinking about it for here, but now it seems super convenient and super nice solution. Can you say something about your hardware, or maybe you have custom super specialized hardware, but what would you recommend for beginners in mesh testing? Because I'm interested in comms and ham radio and stuff, but not haven't tinkered with mesh testing so far.
Okay. Well, here I have this one is the one in the bottom left is a Xiao, but I also released online a tutorial on how to control things using this board, so you can even I created a little bot so you can chat with something, basically even an installation, so it could be I can turn on a light by using MeshTastic by typing, because all these little pins you see are GPIOs, so you can trigger things. But I think an entry-level device is this one in the middle, this SenseCap, the one that the dog has, because it's IP66, so you can like put it in the water and it goes on and on, it works, and has the GNSS, so has the position. So I don't know, I mean, to what extent? Also, I was invited by a friend of mine to in a podcast in Italy, in Italian, talking about this, about transformational festivals and communication. And we were discussing to what extent you don't want to lose yourself in a festival. Because maybe festivals are designed to lose yourself and be alone and not find your friends. But these things are really easy to look on the map and identify your friends or your son. Maybe we are not in a festival, we are in a park, and you want to, your son is playing with a lot of other kids and you forget him, but then at some point you want to know where is him. So this is a cool choice. You have a question?
So you explained text communication, but you also showed a picture of locations of nodes, and I guess you can also track the location of people or devices. So how would that work? Do they all have GPS, or is it some other? Is it triangulation over the radio, or how does it work?
Well, you can either share or not share your location, so it's not something that is invasive, and it's not a technology you can use to track somebody if that somebody doesn't want to. Some of these radios, they don't have the GPS or the GNSS chip. The one that has it allows you to send its position using the triangulation of the Galileo and the satellites that it receives. No, I think the chip is listening to the data from those satellites and sends throughout the message. Actually, the message is, I didn't want to add a slide on how the message is made, but maybe I should have. But it's a very short string. We are talking about really, really, I don't know how many, but really few bytes. And some bytes are devoted to the position, and some bytes are devoted to the message itself. There is a question here and then over there.
Yes, I would like to learn something about the data rate, about the size of the messages, how big can they get, and also about the distance, how far the signals can travel.
Okay, data rate, you can just send texts. I mean, the Meshtastic stack, I'm not sure about Reticulum and Meshcore, the other two competitors. The Meshtastic stack has the audio, the sound, but hasn't been implemented. But there is some space to send even audio messages. I wonder how would that work, because if I say ciao, it's going to be ch, yeah, oh, in like 80 messages in order to be anyway, the distance. The distance, in Ozora, we put a 3 dBi antenna, very big one, and it was a 20 kilometer range from Mirador, so just that antenna was enough for the whole festival. Some nodes have MQTT, so some nodes bring you online. So, technically, you can chat to whichever person has another MQTT online to Meshtastic node. So technically, you can chat with somebody in Australia.
Hi, can you say a word about power consumption? If I were to carry such a device to the stages and have, I don't know, 5 hours of partying, would it still be powered by a portable battery if I have GPS on all the time?
Yeah, no. It's these chips, these radios are based on two different chips. One is more power hungry than the other, but we are talking about like 12 hours, 20 hours of life with tiny batteries. But also, I mean, you're talking about something you carry on yourself. So yeah, that would be last longer than you are dancing and partying. And yeah, I don't know, maybe. It's a challenge. But a lot of these devices, I mean, all of these devices are designed to be solar powered or to be super power efficient. LoRa, the protocol they're using, the 868 megahertz, is designed for power efficiency. So it's very low power consumption.
Hey, thanks for the great talk. I have another hardware-sided question, because you were talking about chips. So, like, I have a ESP32 at home, just the basic chip. What would I need to add to take part in this? Is it, like, possible to build a device based on an ESP32?
Yeah, you have to look for which radio is... I don't have internet. I would have shown you. You have to look for the exact LoRa chip that is used. You have to go to the site of Meshtastic, flasher.meshtastic.com, and look for the DIY solutions and check which are the LoRa chips that you can connect to the ESP32, and you can build it your own. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Hi. Did you also look into possibilities that, we are on a festival here with 40,000 people, maybe 60,000, I don't know. Did you look into possibilities how to build some kind of gateway that consumers, normal handies, could have access to this kind of messaging network?
I don't get it. Gateways for what?
Yeah, assume I have my smartphone and I make a Wi-Fi connection to some gateway, some hub, whatever, to push a message into that network.
You mean using a smartphone to connect to this radio? There is the app that allows you to. There is this app called Meshtastic that allows you to text message via Bluetooth to the radio. I think that you can also make your own app, and sorry again, maybe I didn't get.
Own Wi-Fi network that you can gateway into LoRa or whatever.
Sorry, I don't get the question. Can somebody explain me what's the
point being? In situations when you have lots of people, at some point the 4G GSM network is just overwhelmed or gets out of service or whatever. But to build some custom gateways hardware that I could, with my consumer smartphone, connect to the mesh.
Okay, so you're thinking, you're telling, how would it work in situation with a lot of people using this protocol? Okay, I think we haven't tested yet, because last year in Osora it was like 80 people, 80 nodes in the days I checked. Here at Fusion, it's 200 nodes. For Burning Man last year, Meshtastic released a special firmware, because one of the problems is that if too many people are close to each other, remember the 7 hops that a message does in order to reach from me to you, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Maybe we are too close, and so in order to arrive there, it dies after her, no? Because there are too many people. So they made a special firmware, and I think in this situation, they are designing solution for specific events, such as a Fusion Festival, which is the biggest event I've ever been, or maybe Burning Man, I don't know. Yeah. Thank you for, sorry, I didn't get at first.
Hello. So you mentioned that the communication is happening over 7 hops. So a question then, is it required that there are 7 devices at least in the area for communication to happen, or could like 2 devices connect directly? So for example, if we are outside of a festival, there are several people who use the network where no other devices are, is it possible to communicate directly between like 2 devices?
No, it's totally possible to communicate with 2 devices without the 7. The 7 hop is like the maximum level. From the app, you can even say, I don't want messages to be delivered beyond 3 hops. So everything dies after 3 hops. And also, it's interesting because you can imagine the use of Meshtastic also as a private situation. Suppose you are in a farm and you want to... you can make a chat with several things in your place, things and people, and have groups and information based on what the sensors are reading, everything in a private chat using Meshtastic. I do this as a job, so this could be done in many other ways. But the cool thing about Meshtastic is that it's open source and it's really simple to do it. So I envision a lot of expression in this field in the next years, even in the arts side, in the installations, because I've done a lot of installation in my life, and when you want to make things happen from here to over there, you normally use Wi-Fi or Ether Wi-Fi. And Wi-Fi fails most of the time because it's very crowded and it's very layered. And there are a lot of frequencies and things that can go wrong. And I think Meshtastic could be an interesting solution even for these resilient installations I've been witnessing here at Fusion.
Yeah, I integrated one of these nodes into my totem behind me, and we also placed some on a very high hangar to relay the messages and have like 15 followers. And then we noticed the airtime gets pretty crowded, like 50% already only from our group maybe. Do you have any experience how far could we scale this? Because as I see it now, if we double the number of nodes, it might fail completely.
Well, I think we chat on Meshtastic before. I think you were one of the people referring to the hangar antenna. Which antenna? No, no, leave the microphone, because which antenna are you using? Because I think it depends, it really depends on the power of the antenna. The antennas are something that are really relevant here. Some antennas, I mean, I'm saying very, for example, the one I put in Osora was like a very big antenna, and that was enough for all the people. It wasn't that much, indeed. So I think it's the problem in your situation, the scalability problem, relies on the fact that if you want to have one node that is the main one, you have to invest in a bigger antenna. And if you are using mesh testing, maybe you know about roles. Maybe you have to change the role of that node to router. But again, maybe we should ask on Reddit some people.
Thank you very much. I think we are out of time. Please give a huge round of applause to Davide.
Thank you so much.